And this series is called Make Some Noise. Make Some Noise. So today's message is actually entitled, Our Great God is Listening to You. Our Great God is Listening to You. And I just think it's important for us to grab hold of this morning. I think in the midst of all the chaos we're in and everything that's going on in the world around us, I think, wow, what a perfect time for this message and for this series for us to make some noise. So I'm going to jump right into this morning. Again, we're so glad to be there with you in your homes, and we want you to follow along just like you normally would. If you have the YouVersion app, you can follow along if you're able to do that and watch this at the same time. Follow along on YouVersion. There's some notes there. A lot of scriptures today will be on YouVersion. If you're not able to follow along on YouVersion, just get your Bible and get a notebook and a pen or pencil, and I want you to follow along and take some notes this morning. Okay, so Our Great God is Listening to You. In the movie Bruce Almighty, I don't know if you've seen that movie, but in that movie, God decides to take a holiday and gives his powers to an unsuspecting man named Bruce. One of the first things that Bruce must deal with is the constant stream of prayers pouring into his mind. He tries filing cabinets to deal with it. He tries post-it notes. He tries emails to respond to the prayers. And when he tries to answer all of the prayers, it's more than he can handle, more and more flood in. It's just a constant stream of voices, a constant stream of asking, a constant stream of communication, and he's overwhelmed with it. Now, this is in the movie Bruce Almighty, and I think sometimes, though, when we pray, it can feel like our prayers are just one in a million or one in a billion prayers that are flooding into God. It could feel like it's just one in a million emails that's going into God's inbox, that he couldn't possibly have the time to care about what we're saying. Sometimes I think we feel like it's not even worth praying because we think that God is not hearing all that is being said. Maybe he'll get to me in a year. Maybe God can get to this in time, but there's so many requests going up to him. There's so many voices speaking to him. How could he possibly hear mine? And if he did hear mine, does it really matter? But I need to tell you today that couldn't be farther from the truth. God is nothing like the movie Bruce Almighty. So today I want to speak to you about the huge, massive, amazing God that we serve. As big as he is, he still hears your voice and desires to hear you. I hope that today, through this message, that our view of God will be enlarged and we will gain a new perspective of how great God is and how he can hold us together in the palm of his hand no matter what comes our way, no matter how big the chaos is, no matter how crazy the pandemic is or whatever happens in our lives, God's holding us together and no circumstances are too big for him. I want to read a scripture to you. I want to start with Psalm 19:1. Turn there if you have your Bible and look in that. Psalm 19:1 is a scripture that I want to really start with. And this is a powerful scripture, very simple but powerful. And it says this, the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Now, think about this. The heavens proclaim his glory. The skies display his craftsmanship. George Washington Carver said this. He said, I love to think of nature as an unlimited broadcasting station through which God speaks to us every hour if we'll only tune in. That's so powerful. Nature is an unlimited broadcasting station because God created it. God created the heavens and the earth. They are still his today. Do you know that? Heavens and the earth are still God's. They still belong to him. He created them. No one has taken them from him. And so he is displaying his greatness. He is broadcasting to his people and to all of creation. He's broadcasting every hour, on the hour, every minute, every second of every day if we'll only tune into the station. I think that's powerful. And that's what Psalm 19:1 is really saying. Psalm 19:1 is saying that the heavens, the creation of God, is proclaiming his glory, that the skies display his craftsmanship. See, in the beginning, God spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Just the very words from his mouth created what we see. Did you know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second? Let me say that again. Light travels at 186,000 miles per second. You also need to know very important information for what I'm about to share with you, that a light year is 5.88 trillion miles. I'll say that again. One light year is 5.88 trillion miles. Now, these are important for you to understand because I'm going to show you a few things about how great our God is, okay? Let's start with the one and only star in our solar system. That is the sun. You've got a picture on your screen right now of the sun, okay? The sun is 93 million miles from Earth, 93 million miles. Its surface temperature is about 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It is 1 million times the size of Earth. Okay, 1 million times. If the Earth were a baseball, all right, now I'm using a baseball today because, first of all, it's baseball season, and the first time in my lifetime, it's baseball season, and there's no baseball being played. So I thought I'd use a baseball today, and that's not a sad thing. Baseball's just a game, and it will come back, and we'll play it again. And we'll watch it again on TV. I know some of you out there are sad because you're not able to watch the Major League Baseball games, but it'll come back, and we'll play it again. But think about this for a moment. If the Earth were a baseball, the sun would be 40 feet in diameter, if the Earth were a baseball. Now, think about that. This is the Earth. Think about this is the Earth, and somewhere you're on this, okay? I hope that starts to put things in perspective a little bit. This is the Earth, and somewhere you're on this. And if this were, if the baseball Earth were a baseball, then the sun would be 40 feet in diameter. That's how big the sun is. The sun is just one of hundreds of billions of stars in the galaxy that we call the Milky Way. It's so big that you could fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. Does that not blow your mind? You could fit 960,000 Earths inside the sun. That's amazing. The next star I want to show you is a star called Betelgeuse. Betelgeuse, it's on your screen right now. To the far right is a picture of Betelgeuse, the size of Betelgeuse. It's what it must look like. And to the far left on that picture is the sun. Now look at that. The sun that we were just talking about, that's so massive, so big, is to the far left, and Betelgeuse is to the far right, just to put into perspective how big this star is called Betelgeuse. It's 427 light years away from Earth. Now remember, 427 light years, what is that? Well, one light year is 5.88 trillion miles, so multiply 427 times 5.88 trillion, and that's how far Betelgeuse is. Go ahead and do the math real quick while I'm waiting. I mean, it's like you can't do it. You can't do it on your phone. You can't do it on a calculator. I mean, that's at least not the ones I have. It doesn't work. That's crazy. Betelgeuse is twice the size. You think I'm going to say of the sun? No. Twice the size of the Earth's orbit around the sun. Twice the size of that. That's just unbelievable. It just blows your mind. Now, look at this. If the Earth were a baseball, Betelgeuse would be the height of 10 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of each other. If the Earth were a baseball, 10 Empire State Buildings, that's the diameter of Betelgeuse. I don't even know what to say. That's just crazy to me. It's unbelievable. You could fit 262 trillion Earths inside of Betelgeuse. If the Earth were a baseball, you could fill up Comerica Park 6,000 times. Think about that. If the Earth were a baseball, you could fill up Comerica Park 6,000 times. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been to Comerica Park. You know how big it is. Imagine filling it up one time with baseballs. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? to fill it up all the way to the top with baseballs would be crazy. But try filling it up 6,000 times. That puts into perspective how big this star called Betelgeuse is. But there's bigger stars than Betelgeuse. And this is just from what we can see on the Hubble telescope that we have up in space. And this is just limited view. Think about this for a moment. It's just limited view what we can see from that telescope. So there's a third star I want to show you, and this star is called Musifi. Musifi, it's in the picture you're looking at. It's the brightest star you see in the center of that picture. There are larger pictures that they have of what they think it looks like, but it's so far away that that's all they can get of it, but they can do the math, and this is the math they've done. Musifi is 3,000 light years away. Remember, a light year is 5.88 trillion miles, so 3,000 times 5.88 trillion, and that's how far Musifi is. If the Earth were a baseball, think about this. If the Earth were a baseball, I'm going to give you something that will make sense to you. If the Earth were a baseball, Musifi would be the width of 6 blue water bridges stacked end to end. 6 of them stacked end to end. That would be the diameter of Musifi if the Earth were a baseball. It's so big you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of it. Not trillion, quadrillion. 2.7 quadrillion Earths will fit inside of Musifi. Now, let me just talk about quadrillion for a moment. Quadrillion, everybody gets a million, right? Kind of, right? Because some of you, you know what I'm talking about. You can kind of do the math. You can kind of fathom that, right? A billion is 1,000 million. A trillion is 1,000 billion. And a quadrillion is 1,000 trillion. That doesn't even do justice, does it? Do you really know what that is? What is 1,000 trillion? It's a quadrillion. But what does that mean? Well, let me just put it in a little bit better perspective for you. A million seconds ago was 12 days. A million seconds, 12 days ago. Okay, we can get that. A billion seconds ago, April 1988, was 1 billion seconds ago. By the way, I have lived about 1.67 billion seconds on this planet. That's how long I've lived. I'm 53 years old. I'll be 54 in October. I've lived 1.67 billion seconds. You can do the math and figure out how many seconds you've lived. It takes a little bit, but you can do it. But here's the thing. When I was preparing for this, and I've preached a little bit of this about the great, how great is our God, about, 6 years ago. But I'm going to give you some new stuff today. I'm going to change some things and show you some stuff about this. But here's something. When I was doing the math on this about how many seconds I've lived on this planet, I've really strongly heard the Lord convict me and speak to me and said, what have you done with those 1.67 billion seconds? That's pretty powerful. Think about that. 1.67 billion seconds. What have you done with that time? So that's a billion seconds ago, April 1988. A trillion seconds ago, you're thinking like 1900, right? 1700. No, a trillion seconds ago was 29,700 BC. That's just crazy. But a quadrillion seconds ago, 30,800,000 years ago. A quadrillion seconds is almost 31 million years ago. That's how long that is. A quadrillion is a huge number. And you could fit 2.7 quadrillion Earths inside of this star called Musifi. And it's just one of quadrillions of stars in our universe. So I just hope that for a moment this morning, that puts into perspective how massive, how great, how big and vast our universe is, and how big and vast and great our God must be who created that universe. I hope that you see, think about this for a moment, I hope that you see if the Earth were a baseball, if the Earth were a baseball, and somewhere on the Earth you're on this, think about how massive this universe is. And our God created that. And he created you. That's powerful. Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down upon the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say there is no God. Alfred Noyes said, the universe is centered on neither the earth nor the sun. It is centered on God. Job, in Job 22:12, was conversing with God, and several times in Job, I'm going to read several scriptures from Job, but several times God was saying some things to him that were trying, he was putting into perspective who he is. God was putting, trying to give Job a little bit of perspective, a little glimpse of who he is and how big he is. Because Job, you know, at that time he had been going through some stuff. How many of you know Job had been going through some stuff? Raise your hand at home if you know Job was going through a few things, right? Some things that happened to Job, I don't know, but I'm not trying to speak for everybody, but I know what Job was going through at that time was far worse than what I'm going through right now. What Job was going through at that time was far worse what probably most of you are going through right now, if not all of us. Job had lost some things here on this earth. Job had some trials. He had some issues. He had some health problems that he was going through here on this earth at that time. And it was pretty miserable for him at that moment. And Job was saying some things to God like he just didn't understand why this was happening and why things were happening to him like they were. And God was speaking to Job, and he was trying to put some things into perspective for Job. And here's one of the things he said in Job 22:12. He said, God is so great. The word of God says, God is so great, higher than the heavens, higher than the farthest, what? Star. Understand this, that God is above the stars. In fact, I could say it this way, God cannot be contained by this universe. He is above, greater, outside of this universe. He's not contained within it. He's outside of it because he created it. He's not like contained by this earth. He's not contained by this universe. He's outside of this. It's in the palm. The entire universe is in the palm of his hand. That's how massive he is. That's how great he is. It's like God holding this baseball. But that's not the earth. That's the entire universe. And I don't even know if that describes it well enough. I don't even know if that puts it in perspective. But I'm just telling you that God was speaking some things to him at that time. Isaiah says this in Isaiah 48:12-14. Listen to me, O family of Jacob, Israel, my chosen one. This is God speaking. He said, I alone am God, the first and the last. It was my hand that laid the foundations of the earth, my right hand that spread out the heavens above. When I call out the stars, they all appear in order. Okay, so just go with me for a second here. Think about this scripture in light of what I just shared with you. In light of Musifi and Betelgeuse and the sun and all the other quadrillions of stars out there, think about what God's saying in this scripture. He said, when I call out the stars, they appear in order. Yes, sir. Can you imagine Musifi just, yes, sir, in order, saluting the God of the heavens and the universe? Can you imagine this massive star coming in place and saying, you are God? I mean, this is powerful. If you'll just get a glimpse of this, this will blow your mind. It will totally reshift all your perspective. You'll start to see things differently, and your problems don't seem so big anymore. Man, this is powerful, what God is saying in his word, but we don't think of it that way because we look up at these stars off in the expanse of the sky and we just think they're these twinkling pretty little things, but these are massive balls of fire that God created, and they all appear in order when he calls their names. Job said this, in Job, it says this, Job 9:4-9. It says, for God is so wise and so mighty. Now this is Job speaking. Who has ever challenged him successfully? Who has ever challenged him successfully? Do you know of anyone that's ever challenged God successfully? Someone's challenged him, but have they done it successfully? The enemy, Satan, Lucifer, challenged God, but he didn't do it successfully. Satan said, Lucifer said, while he was one of the archangels, when he was in heaven, he said, I will ascend above the heavens. I will ascend above the throne of God. I will be like God. He challenged God, but we saw what happened there. Listen, the very God who calls the stars and they appear in order, that very God said, no, you won't. And he cast Satan out along with a third of the angels that were under his care, cast them out of heaven. So who has ever challenged God successfully? Without warning, he moves the mountains, overturning them in anger. He shakes the earth from its place and its foundations tremble. If he commands it, the sun won't rise and the stars won't shine. He alone spreads out the heavens and marches on the waves of the sea. He made all the stars, the Bear and the Orion, the Pleiades and the constellations in the southern sky. This is the God of the universe. This is our great God. This is the great I Am. He did all of these things. He calls out the constellations, and they move upon his command. Job 38:32. I'm going to read it to you in three different translations. First, the King James Version says, canst thou bring forth Mazareth in his season? Or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Job 38:32 in the New Living Translation says, can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear and her cubs across the heavens? This is God asking Job this question. This is God speaking to him when Job is sitting there in his misery and saying, I don't understand what I'm going through, and I don't understand why this is happening to me, and this is so big, and this is so, I don't know. I believe Job was just like, I don't know if God can do this. I don't know if he can pull me out of this one. And I let me just stop for a second and say, I believe there are people maybe listening today. And I say that because we all go through those moments where we go, man, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? Is this going to get better? And I believe Job was sitting there, like many of us might be have done in the last month or two, and go, "What's going to happen here? Is this going to end? What's going to come of us? What's God going to do? Can He do it?" And God spoke to him and said, "Can you direct the constellations? Can you tell the Bear and the Orion? Can you tell these constellations where to go? Can you guide the heavens?" I like it in the Message version. It says it this way. It says, can you catch the eye of the beautiful Pleiades sisters or distract Orion from his hunt? Can you get Venus to look your way or get the great bear or her cubs to come out and play? Do you know the first thing about the sky's constellations and how they affect things on earth? Wow. That's so powerful. I love when he says, can you get Venus to look your way? I love that. I love that version of that paraphrase of the scripture, because I believe that's what God's saying to Job. He's going, do you really know what you're talking about? Do you understand who you're dealing with here? Do you understand that I've created everything and I love you and I want to direct your life? I want to guide your life. I am for you. Yes. God is for you today. You need to know that. He's for you. Put me in this camera right here. He's not against you. He is for you. God is for you. The God who created this universe, who directs the stars and the constellations, who tells them where to go. When he clears his throat, they look his way. That God, the great I Am, is for you. He's listening for you. He wants to hear from you. He knows what's going on in this world today. He knows everything that's happening right now. It didn't take him by surprise. He's not looking around going, oh, what's happening? I didn't know this was going to happen. He doesn't do that. God knew it was going to happen long ago. I don't know how many quadrillions of years ago he knew, but he knew it was going to happen. So it hasn't taken him by surprise, and he has a plan for your life, and he's going to do something good in your life. But you have to trust him and believe it. Are you going to give up on God's plan before it comes into fruition? Are you going to turn your back on what he's about to do? Don't get weary in the trial. Trust him. Be patient and wait for his plan to unfold before your very eyes. God directs the stars. He tells them to move and when to move and how to move and where to move. Think about that just for a moment. You see, sin has a way of shrinking God down in our eyes and puffing us up in our own estimations.
That's good right
there. Sin has a way of creeping in. The enemy, think about it, that's his only hope. His only hope is to get your eyes off the greatness of God. His only hope is to get your eyes off of Jesus. That's his only hope. He can't do anything against him. He cannot contest him. He doesn't have a chance. So his only hope is to get you distracted from the greatness of God. But see, the greatness of God is all around us. Just a glance into the universe resizes everything in a heartbeat. Just a glance up into the heavens with some wisdom and some understanding from his word resizes everything in your life.
Yes.
Just a glance, you don't even have to look up into the heavens. Just look at the world around you. I've said this many times before. Just look at your hand for a moment. Look at your hand. Yes, everybody at home right now, look at your hand. My family that's here, the people that are here with us, look at your hand right now. Just look at it. Because this is how great God is. You can look into the heavens and everything I just spoke to you about the stars and how massive they are, but then look at your hand and look in the micro details of God's creation. There's no hand like this that I'm looking at on the face of this earth. There never has been and there never will be. That blows my mind. I don't know about you, but it blows my mind. Look at your hand again. There's no hand like that. That's how personal he is. That's how detailed he is. That's how amazing he is. Is you're one of a kind. There will never be another you. There never has been one of you, and there never will be. And that's why the enemy wants to destroy us so badly. That's why, you know, during times like this, suicide rates go up because the enemy wants to destroy. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy God's beautiful creation. You are a beautiful creation of God. You're unique. He took his time on you. Think about that for a moment. That blows my mind. That's just beautiful. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. He took his time on you. The very God who spoke and said, "Let there be light," and there was light, took his time on you. You are his greatest creation. I think that's so beautiful. You're such a beautiful creation to God that he sent his very own son to give his life for you. So, why don't you let God resize everything in your life right now? Why don't you let him shift your perspective a little bit? When I talk about this, I'm going to give you a few scriptures and I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. But when I talk about this, something that happens when I'm speaking about this, and I don't know if it's happening in your heart too, but I just feel this joy rising up in me, this new life in me. Like every burden just washes away. It just falls away because when you start to think about how amazing, how big, how vast our God is, you realize that nothing's impossible for him and he is in control and he will take care of you. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Are you like me sometimes where you forget about that? That you know, you get busy, you get in the life, you get going and everything around you swirling. Are you like me? Kim, Stefan, are you like me sometimes that happens in your life and you're like, and you just find yourself having a pity party for yourself like Job was doing here? And then all of a sudden when you start to look and shift your perspective and start to see how great he is, and then you understand that he cares about you and he wants to hear from you, something changes and it just washes over you. The joy of the, that's why the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Like, you just stand taller. You just feel better. You're like, whoo, man, my daddy, my papa, my God is in control, and nothing's impossible for him. I mean, you puff up, not in a bad way, but in a good way. Isaiah 49, verses 15 through 17. Read this with me. Isaiah 49, 15 through 17 says, "Never can a mother forget her nursing child. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would not forget you." This is God speaking. "Even if that were possible, I would not forget you. See, I have written your name on the palms of my hands." Always in my mind, you're always in his mind. "Always in my mind is a picture of Jerusalem's walls and ruin. So your descendants will come back soon." I'm sorry. "Your descendants will come back, and all who are trying to destroy you will go away." This is a promise from the Lord. Are you listening to this morning? What he's saying is, "I have written you on the palm of my hands, and your enemies will soon go away. All who are trying to destroy you will soon go away. This pandemic will soon go away, but you are still written on the palm of God's hands. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's listening to you today." Isaiah 43:1 says, "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, to the one who formed you, says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Jeremiah 1:5 says, "I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and appointed you as my prophet to the nations." I mean, this will blow your mind if you start digging into his word and understanding how great he is and how powerful he is and how amazing he is. But we have to remind ourselves of this. We have to put things into perspective. We have to glance up into the heavens and down here on the earth and see how amazing our God is. And then once you realize that and see that he's for you and he formed you and created you, my goodness, it reshapes everything. This amazing, enormous, almighty God wants to hear your voice. Yes. Let me finish with this. Psalm 66, verses 19 through 20. "All believers, come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. If I had been cozy with evil, the Lord would have never listened, but he most surely did listen. He came on the double when he heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He didn't turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me, loyal in his love." 1 John 5:14 says, "And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him." John 9:31 says, "We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will." Psalm 145:18 says, "The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth." Jeremiah 23:23, and the Lord says, "Am I a God who is only close at hand, says the Lord? No, I am far away at the same time." Listen to this scripture. He's saying, am I a God who's only close at hand? No, I'm far away at the same time. Listen to what he's saying. I'm right there with you, and at the same time, I'm outside of this universe. I mean, this is crazy. This is crazy. He's here inside of me. Put me right here. Put me right here. He's here inside of me. He's here inside of you. And at the same time, he's outside of this universe. This is how great he is. This is how massive he is. Do you really think this God who spent so much time on you, who wants to hear your voice, who's listening for your call, do you really think this God who is outside of the universe and at the same time living inside of you, do you really think he's going to let you down? He will never let you down. He will never let you down. We may turn our backs on him and we may let him down, but he never lets us down. In fact, I want to do this right now. keep me right here for a moment. I want to do this right now. Everybody at home, everybody listening right now, I want you to do this. I want you to just close your eyes and say, Father, forgive me for turning my back on you. Forgive me for doubting. Forgive me, Father, for losing perspective of who you are. Oh, you're so good. You're so big. You're so amazing. You're so marvelous. You're so exalted. Forgive me, Father, for losing perspective. Forgive me, Father, for losing faith. Forgive me for doubting. Even if it was just for a moment, Father, forgive me. Would you say that to him today? I know you're listening, Jesus. Father, I know you're listening to me. I know you hear me right now. And I know you have a good plan. Oh, yes, he does. He has a good plan. This great, big, amazing, loving God who is a quadrillion light years away is right beside you at the same time. He wants to hear your voice. He wants to have conversation with you. He wants to partner with you on this journey of life. All of creation is speaking out his glory and his majesty. All of creation, he designed it with purpose. There's not one thing that he designed that doesn't have purpose. I know it's difficult to fathom sometimes, but at the same time, you need to understand that he cares and he wants to hear you. You felt his touch. You're feeling it right now today. You've heard his whisper. You've seen his glory. You've experienced his goodness. So reach out to him. Speak to him. Because he's waiting. He wants to hear your voice. This great God of the universe wants to hear your voice. Make some noise today. Make some noise. Give him glory. Give him praise. He's worthy of it. Let me show you one more amazing galaxy that God has created. It's called the Whirlpool Galaxy. And they put a picture up on your screen right now of the Whirlpool Galaxy. Isn't it beautiful? You can see why they call it the Whirlpool Galaxy. Just gorgeous. This galaxy is 31 million light years away. 31 million light years away. It contains over 300 billion stars. Just look at that for a moment. Look at that picture. 300 billion stars. They found a black hole in the center of this galaxy. Are you ready to see it? Show them the black hole. Yes. That's exactly what I thought when I saw it. This great God that we serve hasn't forgotten a thing. He hasn't forgotten a thing. He hasn't left us alone. Think about this. 31 million light years away, this galaxy, in the center of this galaxy is a black hole. And when they saw it, and when they looked at it and took a picture of that black hole, this is what they saw. Perfect form of a cross. Why? Because Jesus is the center of the universe. It all revolves around him. Think about that. From the beginning of time, God knew what he was going to do. From the beginning of time, he knew his plan. From the beginning of time, he knew we'd turn our backs on him. From the beginning of time, he said, that's okay, I'm going to send my son, and my son will redeem my creation. So 31 million light years away is testifying to that. Because he's that big. He's that amazing. But look who's at the center of that black hole. Yes, I know you see a cross there and we see a cross, but you know what that really means? redemption. That's what that means. That means when he created that universe, he was thinking about you. When he created that galaxy, he was thinking about you. That blows my mind, and I'm bawling up here because how personal he is. Because I know there are many times we can just feel so detached. So detached. Especially when we go through difficulties like this. But he's right here, and he hasn't forgotten about us, and he's testifying to it even in the galaxies millions of miles away. So, if the universe were a baseball, God's got you. He's got you. I hope you see that today. I hope you see that he has not forgotten about you, that he wants to hear your voice. He's got you. So I want you to close your eyes right now. Yeah, close your eyes. I know I can't see you. It doesn't matter. God sees you. And you're not closing your eyes because of some ritual or religious format. You're closing your eyes because I want you to get the perspective that God's trying to give you right now and shut everything out in your home right now that's going on around you and listen to this scripture. Listen to this scripture. Psalm 62, 5 through 8. With your eyes closed, listen, God's saying, let all that I am you need to say this today. Let all that I am wait quietly before God. For my hope is in him. Come on, can you say that? For my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge. Yes, he is. And we say thank you, Jesus. We say thank you, Father God. Thank you. We trust you. We trust you. And we give you praise. I pray that today you have received new perspective. I pray that God has shifted your heart and shifted your perspective so that you can see things differently. He's trying to get our attention through this whole process to say, can you see who I am? Can you see what I can do in your life? Great things are about to happen in your life. Great things are about to happen in your life. God's about to do something powerful for you. He's about to do something powerful for us. So let all that I am bless his holy name. I ask you that, I'm asking you to today go out into the nature, out in your backyard, out in your yard, whatever, and just look around for a moment. Tonight, go out and see if there's stars out tonight. Go out and just look up and let God just shift your perspective a little bit more. He's got you. You're going to be okay if you trust in him. You're going to be okay.